Now ask your attention as our brother gives us those very necessary words of exhortation.
A very good morning to you all, my dear, my sisters in the hope of Israel. About a month ago, I had an idea for an exhortation, but Brother Roy took it instead. But Brother Roy was talking, wasn't he, about listening, hearing, and understanding. We'll touch on that very, very lightly. But the words of Jesus tells us, our Master says, when he was talking about, when he was discussing the parable, he said, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." Well, we've done that, haven't we? We've heard the word, we've understood it, we've become baptized. But as we know, brothers and sisters, that's just the beginning. And what's the reason? "Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But in order to do that, we have to grow, don't we? And I want to look at another key word that our Master often uses, but we don't take heed to it. Some of you may well have known that we used to have a dog in our house. It wasn't our dog, but we ended up with it when Abby left us. But dogs have a nice life, don't they? Well, ours did. Spent half his time asleep, more than being awake. But Bo betrayed anybody who walked down the footpath adjacent to our fence, because it used to fly off the settee, up and down the garden, barking at the fence, saying, "Don't you even think about coming into my territory." Now, maybe I should have put a sign up on the fence, on the door, "Beware of the dog." This little Jack Russell was quite a terrier, and it could cause some damage if it was befriended. But there's a famous Brummie in America who's got, he says, 7 or 8 dogs. Obviously he can't count, but they're only little things. He's got a sign on his front door: "Never mind the dogs, beware of the owners." Do you think people ought to be wary of you? To beware of you when they knock on your front door? What impression do we get when somebody knocks on our front door? Doesn't matter who they are, does it? Because we shouldn't be judging people when we look at them, if they're coming down the footpath or we open the door. We don't get many people knocking on the doors these days, do we? We don't have the salesman trying to sell double glazing, do we? We get that in the supermarket instead. What about trick or treat? That's another one, isn't it? Do they think, "Oh, grumpy old people they are, aren't they? Don't they enter into the spirit of the occasion?" And that's the time the carol singers, isn't it? How do we deal with carol singers? Do we listen? What if they've got an adult? Do we say, "Do you know what the real, true meaning of Christmas is?" and give them a pamphlet to preach the word? Talking about people knocking on the doors, of course, we get the Jehovah's Witnesses, don't we? How do we deal with them? I'm just going to give you an incident of how one brother dealt with the Jehovah's Witnesses. He's passed away now, over 30 years ago. Very good speaker, and he was never stuck for a word to say. And he invited them in. And for 5 or 6 weeks, he was discussing the word with them. And they thought, "He sounds interesting, this guy. We'll call in the elders." So they told this brother, "Do you mind if we bring our elders round and we can have a real in-depth discussion?" He said, "Yes, that's fine, let's come in." They should have had a notice on the front door: "Beware of the Christadelphian," because he absolutely tore them apart. Sad, isn't it? His wife said they went out with their tails between their legs. Not a very nice thing, is it? We're not there, are we, to to degrade a person, to diminish their faith. They have their faith, we have ours, and we have to respect that, don't we? But if you have a dog, then you're quite within your law, you're quite within the law to put up a sign, aren't you? Beware of the dog. You are warning them, aren't you? That you've got a dog. Our dog used to run up to the front door and try and pinch the post from the postman's hand. So yeah, maybe I should have put a sign on, beware of the dog. What do people think when they come to the door and they hear a dog barking away? Do they stand back? How do they react? More importantly, how do we react when we put the dog away and then we start to talk to them? Because dogs in Scripture aren't used in a very nice sense, are they? They're not in vogue, are they? I think the book of Revelation tells us quite clearly. And it's a message to us, brothers and sisters, where he says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." My margin has got a very nice comment on the word dog. Bullinger says, "It appears in Phoenician remains as applied to a class of servant attached to the temple of Ashtaroth in Cyprus." So we're not talking about literal dogs, are we, here? Paul is referring to a false worship and false religion. But you are quite entitled to put a sign on your front door. Shall we look, shall we, at Philippians and chapter 3? Verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of the concision. And the word we're looking at, as you realise now, is the word beware. Beware of the concision. And this is what the heathens did by mutilating and distorting their bodies in their act of worship, which we don't have a problem with, do we? We're not into that kind of thing, are we? But they were at the time of the first century. So let's just look, shall we, at how the Master uses the word beware. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And this, of course, is a problem, wasn't it, in the first century, in certain ecclesias where these false prophets did come, didn't they? And caused havoc in the church. Beware, or take heed, or keep away from. So who are these false prophets, and who are these sheep in wolf's clothing? Have you ever spotted one? Can you spot them? What do they do? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Yes. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, or thorns, or figs, or thistles?" And so we can see them by their fruits. But they weren't following Christ, were they, in the right manner? Do we? So what were they doing wrong? Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He says, take heed or beware that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Wherefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. They were blowing their, as we say in that expression, they were blowing their own trumpet. It was all about them and not the message. So it's not only erroneous doctrines, was it? They were, as Paul puts it, they were puffed up, full of themselves. And Jesus, again, he tells us in his words in Mark, where he says, he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feasts, which devour widows' houses and under pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the greater condemnation. And we see this in Matthew 6 again and in verse 6. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What is their leaven? Verse 12 tells us that it's the doctrine that they were supposed to be aware of. Their false of a doctrine. Let's go into Mark now. Finished with Mark. Let's go in Matthew. Let's go into Mark. Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, beware, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 9. But take heed this time to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogue shall be beaten. And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sakes. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And that was a consequence that they had to take on board to publish the gospel, that they would appear before the authorities and be persecuted. We're very fortunate, aren't we, that we can preach without let or without hindrance. But we need to take heed, because it may one day come. We just do not know, as the Lord is not very far away. Verse 22. False Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Verse 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Are we watching? Are we praying? It's not just looking for the bad guys, is it? But to be alert and to take heed to ourselves, which is emphasized in the Gospel of Luke. Finished with Mark, let's go to Luke. Luke 17. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves again. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in 7, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard to do. But he says we have to do it. Why do we have to do it? Hopefully that brother or sister will not do it again. Not just to you, but to somebody else. We have that responsibility of taking heed of that. Verse 21, Luke 17. Neither shall ye say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So it's verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And is it a coincidence again that a few verses afterwards he says, watch and pray? Luke, going there into Luke chapter 8 again. Luke 8 and verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So I have to take heed to what we hear. But Roy dealt with that, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago. Nearly always, brothers and sisters, when Jesus is talking about taking heed, it's normally done in the concept of a context of a parable. And the words of Jesus again tells us, and if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus Christ uses that expression 7 times in the Gospels. And it's used 8 times in the Apocalypse. And 7, of course, is perfection, isn't it? He preached the gospel, which is perfection. He wants us to hear and to understand it. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he saith. And that account, where he uses he hath ears, he uses it twice in that chapter. And it's sandwiched between 2 parables. We have lots of bewares and take heeds. But we know, do we not, that unfortunately some people just do not stay the course, do they? Once we go, if we can, to the 2 book of Timothy and chapter 4. And to see how we should deal with the situation. Verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We read in John this morning, haven't we? Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Demas fell away, or left the truth at that time. Verse 10, which we just read, verse 14. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Verse 16, that my first answer to man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Yes, they have hurt me, they have upset me, but we are not to take it personally. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is the attitude here, isn't it? And this is what Paul's exhortation was to his young son in the faith, to treat such a case as that. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments or the first principles of the world, and not of Christ. We are to follow the first principles of Christ, and not of the world. For in his emblems there we see, do we not? For in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So how did the master cope with all this? And just think that he was harassed, wasn't he, 24/7, for 3.5 years, with all these take heeds and to beware, which he tells us of, which must have consumed so much of his time. Does it consume much of our time? He tackled these, didn't he, head on. The false prophets. They weren't prophets in the sense that we know prophets, but they were spokespeople or spokespersons for the Lord Jesus, who got out of hand. But also the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. How to combat trespassing or being offended by a fellow brother or sister. We can see, can't we, the case of Peter, can't we? Get thee behind me, Satan. The excesses of life. Now all these take heeds and all this bewaring affects each one of us in a different way. Doesn't matter what it is, it might affect one very greatly and another not at all. The excesses of life. I don't think this really troubled the Lord Jesus, did it? Because he hadn't got time to think about comfortableness, had he? His time was spent with his disciples. His time was spent preaching the word. His time was spent combating the wrong doctrines of the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He was brought up in a humble village, wasn't he, as a carpenter. He did not seek the excesses of life, did he? I didn't choose the hymn that we're going to finish with, but we come around God's word to learn together, forsaking earthly cares, lusts and pleasure, to stand firm against the world around us. God has in store us his heavenly kingdom. That's what the Lord Jesus did, didn't he? He took heed to himself as he went before Pilate, conducting himself in the correct manner. He did it with decorum. Didn't say, you can't do this. This is a kangaroo court. You know, you're not within the law. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And Jesus did that. Did both of those in the correct manner and in the correct situation. He opened not his mouth as a lamb led to his death, wasn't he? Slaughtered for us. He did this very effectively, didn't he? By taking all these head on. By not accepting false doctrines. By not accepting philosophies that can turn the head occasionally. But pointing the errors by using the word. For it is written. The word was his basis. He didn't sit in holy places with fancy garments. But he reached out to the poor. And the not so poor. And he did not show an air of prominence. Or an air of grandeur. But one of humility. But how did he do it? Take heed, watch, and pray. Because he was often, was he not, in constant touch with his Father in prayer, where the Father indeed sent him an angel to strengthen him and to comfort him in his trial of need. And as he hung on that cross, brothers and sisters, as we've seen these emblems now, he knew what was coming. Psalm 22. And he suffered it. And just think of the temptation. Where he could have called upon 72,000 angels. And he could have wiped out those Pharisees and those scribes and all those people who came together to have him killed and crucified. And what was his response? Who else would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Would we have done that? If we were in that situation, would we have forgiven them, seeing the people before us who've done their darn hardest to make life difficult for you? I'll finish with the words of the Master. And these are a stark and brutal reminder for us. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him in portion with the unbelievers. Revelation. Those who are without sight are dogs, sorcerers, and the like. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more.